the urgency of the Spirit for me to speak prophetically to you this morning came on my morning prayer walk, and the prophetic anointing came upon me, and God started saying some things and showing some things. After the first mile, about a mile and a half, I knew I had to immediately, with my walk clothes on, get on the line and talk to you, because he gave me a bold revelation to handle these times. I'm going to look right at that camera right there, right? Yes, sir. To handle these times. All right. The Spirit of God wants to reveal to you and to the body of Christ at large the secrets of living beyond normal. At this time, the norm is not working. And I know we know scriptures. We know about prayer. We know about praise and worship. But there's some revelation here with probably familiar scriptures, but it's such a clear concept and precept for these times. Father, we thank you that you cover all over the world as we speak on your behalf, and may the prophetic anointing be strong. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, one of the secrets of living beyond the known is knowing how to live in a time like this as he is. As he is. As he is, so are you. We'll finally get to the I am aspect of it in a moment. But as he is, so are you. And notice what the scripture said in 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I believe to a certain degree we're living in a day of judgment. Things are being dealt with. The playing field is made level, that everybody will have an opportunity and stop people from just sitting on top of other people. And by revelation and by anointing and by insight, this morning, your life will take a leap beyond normality. There are some secrets, and this is one of them, here in this verse. He says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Perfect love produces boldness. Perfect love produces boldness. So in a time like this, anybody who have done you wrong, release them. Any type of gossip, come, release it. Anything that may hinder you from walking in perfect love, I want you to get rid of it today by faith. Anybody you need to release, get them out your soul, get your soul out of prison. Don't let nobody rub you wrong. Walk by faith in perfect love. And the Bible says perfect love, get it, casts out fear. You see, you will never get all the fear out of you without your love becoming perfect. So he says, herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. So I'm saying again, I believe this is a day not just of having a problem, I believe it's a day of judgment. Now notice the last part of this verse. The secret of living beyond normal. Because as he is, so are we in this world. How? Perfect love. See, Romans 5:5 says the hope making not ashamed, because the love of God been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So that as perfect Holy Ghost love will release a power in you that you cannot be affected by normal circumstances or demonic activity. Because Jesus never was, they never upset Jesus. There was no fear in Jesus. There was no, he was never overly concerned of how things going to come out. of how things going to come out, of how things going to come out. Why he wasn't concerned? Because he perfectly knew how things was going to come out, because he knew he was in control no matter what the storm was, what the wind was doing, what the water was doing, what type of shortage there was. He always knew that he was in control. If he always knew he was in control, you and I, because he is in us and we are in him. So we have to know who is in control even in a time such as this. So this is a spiritual time. This is not a science time. This is not a medical time. This is not a psychology time. This is not a time for mental ascending. These things may help, but the main focus here must be to live beyond the known, is living in the spirit, operating in perfect love, perfect boldness, manifold wisdom, and the unsearchable riches of Christ. Listen, when I finish, you're going to shout. Because prophetically, I'm speaking to you that we have the golden opportunity and the golden privilege in a time like this to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Not as a sadness of the various people we're not losing if they're in Christ, they're going home early, that's a sadness. But yet, I want you to look at this verse. I want you to meditate this verse. And I have another secret I'm going to tell you further down the line, and then you'll know what to come back and do with this verse. But I want you to turn now to John 15:7. Very familiar scripture. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The abiding factor. Now listen to what happened in that verse. The abiding factors cause you to function in God's will. See, God's will is in his word. So you say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that means you have a revelation of his will in every given situation. Are you listening? See, when the word abides in you and you abide, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that means being released in you is a revelation of what Jesus would do at any given time. Now, how to make that yours? If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will. Ask what you will. See, you're really not asking what you will. Your will has become his will has become your will, and it shall be done unto you. So, in other words, let me get ahead of myself a little bit. When he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, he's saying to you, present my word back to me, which is my will, and I have to give it to you because it's my will. So it's talking about, see, prayer. You have not prayed unless you have a word from God and understand it and present it back to God. Prayer is not just saying a lot of words, a lot of things you know. No. God personally speak to you through his word and tell you what to pray. And then you take what he told you back to him. And further down the line, we're going to find out there's a divine combination of God speaking to you and you speaking back to him, which caused the manifestation to come forward. So Jesus give us this. As he is, so are we in this world. Then Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So whatever format that you may be in at this time, health-wise, economy-wise, relationship-wise, because I know relationship has to be stronger because we're in each other's face all day long, spending time, just ask the Lord to help you and present his word back to him. Now, secondly, turn to Isaiah 55. And Isaiah 55, we want to see something here that I think in this pandemic or whatever they call it, you're going to know exactly what to do. How many of y'all want to know exactly what to do? I can't see your hand, but I believe you got them up. It's really not hard to preach right now. People are listening. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. All right, Lord. Neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. He changed nothing. Nor your ways. He talked about my thoughts first, but then he said your ways now. Neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So now, we need to know how to get in God's higher ways now. We need to know how to get in God's higher thoughts now. We cannot be a regular Christian. We cannot just be a regular Bible reading. We have to prophetically, and that's why I want to talk to you, let the Lord lift us onto another level. A level that is not normal, a level that is supernatural, a level that has miracles and signs and wonders in it, a miracle that has no impossibilities, a miracle that have no limit in them when we get in God's thought and God's way. Now, here's where we come in at. Here's where we're going to take some steps up. God's thoughts, God's ways, and God's will is in his word, all right? Now, when you read the word, or the word is preaching you, or the word is taught you, or the word is prophetically given to you like this morning, you present that word back to God, and then your ways, your thoughts, and your wills become one with God. And then we're going to find in the scripture what happened when that take place. So God's word includes his thoughts, his higher ways, and his higher will. When he speaks his word to us, or when you're reading the scripture, when you're praying about this whole scenario, you have to pray his word back to him. I want to read it over again. For my thoughts, verse 8, are not your thoughts. But now we know how to have his thought. Now that your way is my way, now we know how to have his way. If we get down to John 14:6 in a little while, we'll see that we are the way. We are the truth. And we are the life. Because the way, the truth, and the life lives on the inside of me. I cannot get lost in a scenario like this. I cannot run with the crowd. I have to be still and realize that God is God and that he's taking care of me. All I have to do is yield to him and he'll show me what to do. The ninth voice says, for as the heaven are higher than the earth, so my way is higher than your way, and my thought than your thought. Then it says in the tenth voice, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. When God speaks to you at a time like this, he's giving you seed for your harvest. We're not talking about money seed now. You know, money is a seed. But right now, we're talking about seed. God's word is your seed for the harvest you need in this situation. If you need healing, you need health, you need finances, you need some peace in your home, whatever it is. When you read God's word or when you listen to a broadcast like this, you're getting seed. Now, what do you have to do with seed? You got to sow it. So when God send you his word, he's sending your word, his word for you to have seed to sow back into him so he can send you a harvest, because your his thought, your ways, and your word and his words are the same. Okay? So the word of God, as Jesus explained in the 13th chapter of Matthew, the word of God is a seed. So a seed not sown cannot produce. So the word is not sown when you hear it. See, the word, when you hear it, you get the seed. But until you present God's word back to him, there will be no harvest. So that's why a lot of people packing a lot of scriptures, they're loaded down, but they never present it back to God. Now, let me go a little further. You see clearly. So when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm at church, when I'm in a setting like this, when I'm hearing God's voice through one of his servants, I am in the process of 2 Corinthians 9:10. He's giving seed to the soil. He's giving seed to the soil. God gives seed to the soil. God's word is seed that he's given you to sow in him so he can give you your harvest. You got it? All right, now, if you don't understand this, verse 11 will make no sense to you. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. How is it going to return to him? Suppose it's not returned. Who with me? See, let me say, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. If it's not returned, it's void already. Because the whole kingdom and the whole paradigm of God works on the basis of him giving you his word, and you present that word back to him in faith. It's Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So blessings after blessing is ready to fall on you and your house and your business or whatever you do, your ministry, whatever you do. But you have to recognize that you are a word sower, and you have to sow not only into other people, but you have to sow that word back into God and say, God, you said this, and I'm in agreement with it. I present it back to you. And God then is obligated to manifest in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on around you, because we're talking supernatural. We're talking creation. We're talking nothing impossible. And when many of you are going to have a joy this afternoon. Some of y'all knew something about this, but I knew and I had let it slip. The emphasis that need to be placed on doing something not to be carrying a void word. Other words, if I don't know if this is a word or what, but getting rid of the devoid word, getting rid of it, making the word validated in your life, and having confidence and courage and wearing your credentials of a winner. I'm just like him. I'm just like Jesus. Watch this. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. Now, seed, I sent it. Why did he send me his word? To sow it back into him in prayer, decrees, or declaration. Say the same thing he say. You'll have the same thought he had. You'll have the same ways he had, and you'll have the same will he has. That's what's in God's word. God's word is his thought, his ways, and his will for you, and it's good. The Bible says all things work together for good for them who love God. So So he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Now we're talking about the secret of living beyond normal. You see, you can have a Bible, you can have it marked red, blue, and green, and still live normal if you just thinking that the word got to come to you. The word got to go back to God. And you got to, it's a divine agreement when you sow the word back to God, all right? So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. So when the word is read or heard, is God sending his word to you? But the prospering of the word cannot manifest until you send it back to him. So the word actually, the word is void going one way. And so you can be loaded with scriptures with no results. That's why meditation is so important, because meditation is downloading. Meditation is programming you to be able to speak God's word back to him and validate it. See, God cannot validate his word on earth. Oh, my goodness. God can't make his word good on earth. That's why you're a new creature. That's why we're born again. That's why he sent his word to us so we can validate it. Because, you see, the earth he has given to man. And so when you send the word back to God, you become Adam before he fell. Your dominion, over this little situation here. Now, don't get upset with me because I call it a little situation. People die, I know that. But compared with God, you know, he can handle it. We just got to know what we're doing. And that's what my assignment today is to refresh you in your position, that you're not to sit here and cry and complain and listen to false prophet, false news, false things being said to you. You need to be operating under the spirit of discernment. And this I'm going to let in, and this I'm not going to let in. I'm going to rejoice and praise the Lord. All right? We can't just go by your emotion and your feeling. You have to have a devotion with God. All right. So here he said, you have to return his word back to him. Let's go to another one now. Let me say it again. Return his word back to him in prayer, decrees, and declaration, returning his thoughts, his ways, and his will back to him. So now he have a right to manifest it in your life. Look at another scripture. I don't know how long I'm going to be. You're not going to be that very long. Acts 17. And verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poet have said, for we are also his offspring. Now, living, moving, and being in him is based on the same facts that we just talked about, presenting his word back to him. Living, his moving, and his being, or your living, your moving, and your being is in his word. So when you find yourself getting down low and you've heard a whole lot of, for lack of a better word, crap, feed yourself and go back and spend some time with God. I met a young lady, one of my members this morning. I told her, I said, are you praying? And she said, yes, sir. I said, never waste your time walking without praying. Then I met two of my grandchildren. I'm blessed to have my children, my grandchildren, all in the same subdivision where I am, my sons and my daughter. And I met two of my grandchildren, two of my older grandchildren, and I said, what am I doing now? See, I was walking. What am I doing now? They looked. They thought about it. I said, I'm praying. And they laughed, walk on off. But I was telling them, you pray while you walk. Don't waste your time walking without praying. All right, now, for in him we live and move and have our being. See, if you don't know how to live, you don't know how to move, you're not going to have no being. See, living and moving and having your being, that's what it's all about. In him we live. Not in this situation, not in this pandemic, not in this virus. We don't live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. Let me see what I say here. In him we live, move, and have our being. Not been, being. A consistent, eternal being started in you when you accepted Christ. It's not when you get to heaven. You have the ability to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have the ability to say, thy kingdom come, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Have your way in me. Have your kingdom, have your power, and your glory flowing through me. You have that power. Now another scripture. I have two or three more scriptures. John 14:6. Remember, the secret of living beyond normal is the urgency of the Spirit for me to come and give you this simplicity. It's real simple, but yet it's profound to me. Now here we got another scripture that is kindred to this scripture. John, very simple. John 14:6. If you're paying attention, these scriptures are repeating themselves over and over again in a different way. It's divine connection, divine protection, all there. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. That a way is, see, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, here's where you need to get offline, because I'm about to say something if you can't handle it. Because Jesus lives in me and I am in him, the spiritual mechanism of being the way, truth, and the life is in me. I am what he is. As he is, so if in my I am-ness, and you got to talk to yourself, in my I am-ness, I don't have to look for the way, I am the way. In my I am-ness, I don't have to look for the truth, I am the truth. I mean, 2 Corinthians, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ is living through me. So all of God's I am is in the Bible. That's who I am. I hope you're seeing that. And see, so it can't come a time that you don't have a way. It can't come a time that you don't know what to do. It can't come a time that you don't have life in you. You don't have the, when Jesus said, I am come, the thief come not but to steal, kill and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So in any type of situation, you still design to live the abundant life. Watch what go through your mind. Watch what come out of your mouth. Watch what other people are saying to you. Shut them off. If they're talking doubt and unbelief, get them, tell them that we'll talk next month. And keep yourself stable in this word and you're going to be fine. So here you are the way, the truth, and the life. Now notice Two more scriptures, and then we'll close. In Philippians 2:13, Philippians. For it is God was working in you both to will, as will it, and do of his good pleasure. So how he working me? Working me through his word. He working me through the divine nature. 2 Peter talked about that's on the inside of me. I have the divine. I have a divine mind. I have a divine life God has given me. And I can't act like a regular person in a time like this. I have to function. I have to sow God's word back into him, that his word can manifest in my life. You have to let God work through you in time like these. You have to go on the inside. You have to go in your being. You cannot stay outside normally, talking normal talk. You have to speak the word of God. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart or in his inner man or in his soul, the things we say shall come to pass." So that God is at work in us. And now let's close with a scripture that I believe going to, all the things we have said, going to finalize some things. In 1 Thessalonians, I just wanted to come talk with you. I mean, I got it. I hope you appreciate it. I hope you don't take this for granted. And I hope you don't think you're so deep you already had all this. Because that's a mess right there. See. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And all this need to be as read. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Don't forget to do this. In everything. What do I have to be thankful for in a time like this? Everything. Just be thankful. Just know God is not out to get you. Just know there's some correction being made. There's some things that has to be shook up before wealth can be transferred. There's some things, people been locked down in the corner and everybody been walking on them. But everybody even right now, you know. And we have to walk in the word. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. See, that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning everybody around you. No, concerning you. Then he says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice verse 24. What you're worried about? What you're in fear about? Verse 24. Do the other one, and here's what I'm here about. The secret of living beyond normal. Knowing this. You remember we read in Philippians that God is at work in you to do his will and his good pleasure? God is working in you. Look here. Faithful. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to praise him for his faithfulness. I want to give him thanks of how good he's been to us. All of you on the line got something to shout about. You stop letting the enemy let you look at pressures and problem and look to praise and give God thanks. Somebody need to be giving God thanks for being God at a time like this. People talking doubt and fear. Somebody need to be praising him. Somebody need to be giving him thanks. Yeah, somebody need to say the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Somebody need to be dancing. Somebody need to be jumping and running around. Say, I'm so glad I'm a child of God. I'm so glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm so glad that the grace of God is upon me. I'm so glad that I'm not by myself. God got his hand on me. He's wrapped his arm of love around me. I want to preach to you a little bit. He's wrapping his arm of love around me. in a time like this when the wind is blowing and the storm is raging. But I know he's taking care of me. And so I want to say thank you right here this morning. Thank you. So everybody say thank you. Favor he that calleth you. Now look what the last part of the verse said. Who also will do it. What will he do? Whatever is necessary to keep you on top. God bless you. See you next round.